tool that doesn't miss a thing. You got it to come. Walt Tip Tulip Road Rage, we are back, and I'm rejoined on this Monday, as most Mondays, by our good friend Bob Mahoney. Bob, how are you, Bob?
I'm good, Walt.
Good.
How are you?
Good, good, Bob. Good to have you back.
Good.
You know, we took a week off.
Good to be back, yeah.
We took a week off there a couple weeks ago when I thought we were sort of negative the week before, and there was nothing positive to talk about. And so
that was a Louisville weekend.
Right. And
yeah.
And so we postponed that because I just thought I felt like we were just going to be repeating ourselves. And, you know, now we're coming to the end of the season. So if we repeat ourselves, so be it. Obviously, Bob, the season is not going as intended. If you had ever told me we would be here on the 11th of this month and that Clemson would have two series wins in league play all year, and they would be Stanford and Boston College, I would have said you're crazy. I did have questions about this team. I was concerned about how effective they were going to be once league play began. That all started with Georgia Tech, and it didn't go well. And it didn't get better all year, Bob. And I we've talked about a lot of this. And I think we've come to agree that we both sort of think it's a talent issue, and I still do. I mean, I think you play an entire season. I mean, you can attribute, you know, a loss here or there to different factors and what you might have done and where you could have been better. But at the end of the day, Bob, when a Clemson baseball team is mired at the bottom of a deep league, the answer has to come down to one word: talent.
Yeah, no, I actually agree with you about that. I've heard you talking about it for the first hour a lot, and I know that wasn't all you talked about, but that was kind of the theme, and I don't have a problem with that. I really, you know, you are what you are, and it's really hard for me to take off my orange colored glasses and not see these kids, because, you know, once the season starts and you travel with them, you know, several times,
yeah,
and it's hard to be around them knowing how hard they're trying, what the effort they're putting in to prepare and to play. And yes, I think that, you know, towards the end of the year, it got to be that you know, you're really uptight. You know what the expectations are. You're not meeting those expectations. And you feel like you could be better, but the bottom line is the teams that I got to see all year long, they had a lot more better players than we did.
Right. Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah.
And now, you know, it's the interesting element, Bob, is there was enough there from like an RPI, et cetera, state that you had people like Nationally keep saying, well, if Clemson could just do this, if Clemson could just, you know, win two or three now. And it just seemed like there were lots of chances, you know, like
there were,
you
yeah,
know, and
kind of,
and you just never, yeah, never did what this team needed to do to be able to take advantage of those chances.
Yeah. The only time we did was Boston College.
Right.
That was the only time, because you were expected when out West, that was kind of early in the season.
Yep.
And you expected to win games out there. You expected to, but as the season wore on and you got deeper into the ACC and saw what was coming, you know, the only weekend that you met the expectations, and of course people said, we got to sweep Boston College. And we knew how good they were at the time, and we thought winning two out of three was good, and that was going to give us a little bit of momentum, you know, into the rest of the ACC season and the midweek games. And that was right there at exam time too. We came out of, you know, exams, and I think we went into exams actually after the Louisville series, actually, hoping that we would win on a Sunday. We actually came out of the exams with the Boston College series, I think that's what it was. But you're right, there were so many times that, especially towards the end of the year, I think it kind of started with Boston College. Okay, we won two out of three here, and we got Florida State coming in next weekend. If we can somehow manage to win two out of three against them, beat Coastal, you know, beat Coastal down the road, did that. So we felt like we were, you know, in pretty good shape. But then Florida State came in and they, you know, they played like they can play, and they didn't even have their best player.
Yeah.
I mean, they were missing, what, 20-some home runs?
Yeah.
Their first baseman who wasn't there, and then a guy that never played first.
And still they hit like 6-7 home runs in the series.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, wait, that, and I said that many times, I think, on the broadcast, that we've turned them into a home run hitting team because they came in. We had more home runs than they did coming in. But we sure didn't hit many, and they did. I think they hit 2 per game. They hit a minimum of 6 home runs. So it was not what we wanted, obviously. And now are people still going to say, well, if we, you know, win over against Upstate, just get a little momentum going, then go up to Virginia Tech and win 2 out of 3 or sweep them, and we got momentum going to the ACC tournament, and it looks like we're going to be playing either the first game or the second game, probably against either Virginia Tech or I'm trying to think. I was looking at the brackets. I think it was either Virginia Tech or Stanford, I think, are the two. There's 15 plays one of them and 16 plays the other one. So whichever 9 and 10, play 9 and 10.
It's hard to believe, Bob. It just is. It's hard to believe we're talking about Clemson baseball in that area. Just and again, I want to be clear one thing. I am not, and we've talked about this before too. I'm not aboard. People write me about Eric Backett. Look, this guy has 16 years of elite track record. All right, I don't want to hear any of that.
That's a non-starter.
It's just an absolute non-starter. You know, I've heard the same crap with Dabo Swinney. I heard it with Brad Brownell, and now I got to hear it with Eric Backett. So I think Clemson has elite coaches. You know, it's not that. It's just sometimes
all of them. I totally agree with you there. I mean, I'm fortunate to get to know those guys, and
It doesn't always go your way. You know, you bring guys in, they don't play up to their ability. That's more true now than ever, Bob. But it's also true that if you can have a season like this, you can also rebound the next year by being a little better in the portal, quite honestly, and having a better
backloaded in the
right.
Yeah.
Have a better success
rate. And you just missed in the portal. Right. Who would have known that you would miss in the portal, especially in your position players,
right.
You know, there was some pitchers we picked up that were, I think, added to the staff, and they got better as the year went on. I thought some of those guys, VC and Simerson and Danny Nelson as a freshman, I certainly think he got much better. He learned how to pitch, and there's a couple of the guys that really I don't think were used as much as I would have liked to seen him. Dylan Harrison is a guy that would have liked to see, but he's only a freshman.
I've got texters asking me that, and Texter 650 asked me to ask you about Harrison too. I've got people asking me basically wondering whether Clemson utilized the young arms enough this year.
Well, I leave those decisions up to the coaching staff, and I think they know. I mean, they see the guys in the bullpen. They see the guys in games. They know who can handle the pressure, who can't. They know when they want to test them and when they don't. I leave those decisions up to the coaches. I've only, seen these guys pitch and just a small sample that I've seen some of these guys pitch. I would like to see him pitch more. That doesn't mean that, I would have started them here. I don't think that those kind of decisions were not going to make a difference in the season, makes sense.
Bob, look, the elephant in the room, and it's been for 2 years, we have talked about this issue for 2 years. And I feels like we're piling on this kid right now. And I don't like doing that because Aiden Canuck is not the only issue with this team this year. This team had issues everywhere. And I know how hard he works, and I know how important it is to him, and I don't want to make it seem like like he's the villain here and that everybody else is,
yeah.
is fine.
I know you don't.
You know?
And I don't either.
But
yeah.
but the reality is he was supposed to be your ace. He's supposed to be your Friday guy that goes up against other people's Friday guys, and that didn't work all year. And honestly, Bob, the seeds of this were last year. We saw a decline in him last year, and now we're through another year, and now you've got to start to get to the point where you wonder if the anomaly was actually the freshman year and if this is more the reality. But the dilemma, and again, we've talked about this a lot, are these crazy lines he produces. You know, again, generally when a guy's striking out, you know, whatever it is, 1.75 guys per inning, he's pretty good. You know, there aren't many guys who strike out 1 point. That's like Edwin Diaz or Jacob deGrom or something. You know, you don't have guys strike out that many batters that have the problems that Aiden Canuck has had. And we've talked about.
Well, yeah. The bottom line is, you know, 56 in the third innings pitched, he's got 86 strikeouts, but he's also given up 67 base hits.
Yeah.
Which leads the team. And yes, he's pitched a lot of innings. But, you know, like you said, your ace, you don't want your ace giving up 67 base hits and 42 runs.
No, I mean, and again, yeah, it starts every series.
Yeah.
Until now.
And
I mean, until
the
last.
It's early. It's always early in the games. It seems like almost every game, it's early in the games. And we get in a hole, and it gets deeper, and it gets deeper. And we don't respond, and there's been so many games. I can't, and I know you never say never, right? I can't remember many, anyway, games this year that we put pressure on the other teams early in the game.
Yeah.
Where we scored, you know, other than 11. Obviously, we went 11-0. That's pretty big. That's a lot early. That was an anomaly. That didn't happen very often. It really never, not that it never happened, but it didn't happen very often that we put pressure on teams early in the game where it was their dugout that was trying to dig out of the hole. It just seemed like we dug out of holes all the time and, you know, we're trying to, and sometimes the holes got deeper and deeper and we couldn't stop digging really. But, you know, we got behind so fast, and then at times, you know, the bullpen would come in and shut them down, but we couldn't offensively generate enough crooked number innings to get back in the game. You know, one run here, one run there, and, you know, you end up, you know, even at the end of the game, you end up with the bases loaded and two outs, and, you know, McClatty's up and he hits it hard, but, you know, it wasn't hard enough. It didn't fall in, and it was still a four-run loss.
You know, look, going back to Aiden for a second, we've tried to diagnose this over and over again. We talked about him adding pitches 2 years ago and, you know, whether that was to his benefit or not. We talked to him about him getting behind hitters and having to come in with stuff. You know, it's still – and I think that's part of it. But, you know, I've had people suggest to me, well, you know, he's telegraphing his pitches. And I'm like, well, if he's telegraphing his pitches, how's he striking out – you know, one and a half batters an inning. You know, I mean, that doesn't make sense to me. Plus, the staff would have recognized that by now as well. And Bob, is it just that he, again, we talked about this for 2 years, he gets behind guys and then he has to come in and the pitches are too fat, his fastball's not good enough to do that? Is it the control of the fastball? I mean, obviously the changeup is a great pitch, but on its own, go ahead.
Yeah, he doesn't get behind everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why he has the strikeouts, because he doesn't get behind everybody.
Right.
But it seems like when there is a 1-0, it seems like it's all of a sudden it's 3-0 or it's 3-1. And the pitches are, you know, way off the plate. They just don't seem to be
competitive.
Close.
Not competitive.
You know, no, that's right. They're not competitive. That's exactly right. And it's frustrating because you know what unfortunately, we all have an expectation when he takes the mound. And, you know, we hear Eric talking about it in the pregame that we got Canuck on the mound. And if we get an old Canuck, you know, we'll be in good shape. Well, that didn't happen very often, if any.
The North Carolina game is the only one I can think of off the top of my head.
Yeah, that's that's true. Yeah. You don't have a 2-6 record with a lot of good starts.
Somebody asked me, would you want him back? And I said, yes. I mean, again, I think you just can't ignore the totality of the lines. I mean, there's some ugliness in it, and there's something that's got to be fixed, but there's also some good stuff in it if a guy's, you know, striking out as many guys as he has.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. I don't think there's a question with the coaching staff of, you know, if he's going to come back, they're going to want him back.
Let me ask you this, Bob.
And they're going to work on him.
We got to go. Let me ask you this. Let me ask you, I want this from a Bob Mahoney standpoint, all right? Parcells said that if whatever that saying was about letting me shop for the groceries. Well, I'm going to let you shop for the groceries, Bob. What's on the Bob Mahoney portal list about chief needs? Give me like 3 or 4 chief needs that you see. This team needs a makeover, obviously, from a talent perspective. What do you want to do?
Yeah. We need, obviously, I think we need a high caliber shortstop. We need some, and when I say power arms, I'm not going to, you know, really talk down to some of the pitchers we have on the staff. Yeah. Some of them are very young and haven't had a chance to really develop as pitchers.
Proven power arm that you know can eat innings.
We need proven guys that can start a game.
Eat innings.
We need guys that we can put out there that you can count on to go deep in a game.
Yeah.
And I think because of our depth in the pitching staff, I mean, if you look at our pitchers now, we've got like 18 pitchers there. I think it's hurt our depth in the infield and the outfield.
Mm, yeah.
We don't have any depth. We don't have any depth. We don't have anybody. We don't have any options.
So too many pitchers from a numerical standpoint that aren't impacting outcome this year.
Right.
When there were other needs.
With the team.
Right.
Yeah, they're traveling with the team, and yeah. I think we're thin in, you know, having infielders and outfielders. I mean, we need power. We need some power hitters. We're going to need corner outfielders for sure, and going to need a center. You know, center field. You're better. We're going to need a catcher. We're going to need. You know, we're going to have better catching.
I think you just swapped out most of the team, Bob.
Huh?
I think you just swapped out most of the team.
I did. And
look, that's the reality. I mean, but the good news, Bob, is, and we see this in all throughout the world of sports now, you can completely change the look from one season to the next.
Yeah, you can. You've seen it in every sport. And we've got, you know, one coach specifically that certainly has done a great job with the portal, you know, Brownell.
He's 100%.
Brought in some great players and what he's done. And it always hasn't been bad for baseball. That's the thing. You know, we've had one medium average year, and this year was probably a bad year for the portal. 3 years ago, we had good portal guys. But we haven't reached that.
And Bob, you don't always know. Like, there are reasons to believe in guys. Again, it's true on every level. I mean, you know, Clemson won 2 national championships in football when they had Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence. Then you bring in DJ Uiagalelei and Cade Klubnik, and you think, okay, I got 2 more 5-star guys, similar results. Well, it didn't happen. It didn't happen, you know? And sometimes it doesn't.
Those guys had the support that Deshaun had and Trevor had, those guys were elite anyway, but they also had a heck of a support staff.
Yeah.
That helped them, that made them look good too.
Yeah. Bob.
So, yeah, we got some work to do in the off season.
Yeah. As always, Bob, it's a pleasure talking to you. Always appreciate your honesty. It's always a great conversation. Thank you for your time. And we'll talk again soon, Monday. All right, Bob. Thank you.
Thank you, Walt.
Bob Mahoney. Always does a great job, knows baseball as well as anybody, and Bob has quite a shopping list, you know, believes it's a talent issue, just didn't believe that Clemson matched up with the teams they played all year. And that's what I've been saying all along. I think that's the case. It's pretty obvious. And And you just got to get better. But the good news is you have the chance to do that in one portal class. I mean, you can go out and completely change. Now, the list that Bob had was a little alarming because I think he replaced the entire middle other than, you know, Purify. We'll be back.
Running a business means wearing multiple hats. So if you're like me, you probably started out.
And again, there's potential there, but Clemson is going to have to go out and find not just power arms, but power arms that can eat innings. Again, there's a difference between a guy who throws 97 on the side, you get him in, he pitches an inning, whatever. You know, that's not what Clemson needs right now. Clemson needs proven commodities, horses, guys they can count on to eat innings and to perform. And that's just not what they've had. You know, I think Aiden Canott can be fixed. I don't know what the fix is. I don't think anybody does, but I think he can be fixed. But you know, when I asked Bob to do the shopping, gave him the grocery list, he basically named virtually everything. You know, the entire outfield, shortstop, you know, power pitching. I mean, it's a long list. And the reason it's a long list is, again, this team just wasn't good enough. But like I said, that's the good thing about the setup we have now. You can go out and just basically, you know, replace a team. You can go out and find different guys. And hopefully the next time you hit them, you're just not always going to hit them. It's just not how it works. You know, if it was, the NFL would never miss a quarterback, and they miss more than 50% of them in round one, despite investing millions and millions and millions in scouting. They still miss with alarming regularity. So it happens, and all you can do is just go back. The Chicago Bears once drafted Mitch Trubisky, albeit under a different leadership, but once drafted Mitch Trubisky and were all in, came back and drafted Caleb Williams. Trubisky didn't work. Caleb Williams is working. You know, so this didn't work this year. This team wasn't talented enough in any area. So you go back and you hit the portal hard. You work extra hard. You work extra smart. And this time you hit them and you change the face of this team. And that's what you have to do. You know, Bob's in a tough position because, like you said, he travels with him. You know him. You know, they're almost like family. You know, and to Bob, they really are. And it's tough. You know, he wants to say good things. You know, he wants to be in a situation where he can. But Clemson baseball is in a position where they are never in right now. Never. Never. It doesn't mean you fire anybody. I fully believe in the staff. I just think the players weren't good enough. And if you want to say, well, the staff's responsible for the players, well, they are, but you just miss sometimes. The logic is right. The film is right. The study, the belief is right. The scouting is right. It just doesn't work for whatever reason. Who knows? Who knows what all the reasons are? It just didn't work. And so you go back and you hit it harder. Come back the next year, change the face of it. And I'm 100% convinced that Eric Backage and staff will do just that. This is just one of those years. You just write it off. Teams have bad years. You know, and in this world, like I said, listen, the world of college athletics right now is a yearly occurrence. You know, teams fade, they come back, they fade, they come back. Every single year now, you're basically, you know, I think it was Lou Holtz who once said that he coaches a different team every week, every year, whatever. You definitely coach a different team now every year in all of college athletics by the nature of what's happened in college sports. You coach a different team every year. And you can't be sure of the results. You know, you can't. So when it doesn't work, you just go back and you hit it again. And that's what Clemson will do. It didn't work this year. This team, again, this is not an accident, okay? This wasn't bad luck or bad fate or bad mojo. It was bad players. There just weren't enough good players. There weren't enough difference makers. Clemson's, you know, throughout history has had all league players. This team just really doesn't have any. Well, that's why you don't win. And so go find some all-league players. That's the fix. And, you know, Bob talked a little bit about the balance, meaning that perhaps too many arms on staff and not enough positional players. And, you know, I think that could be certainly part of it, But the dilemma is you have too many arms that didn't impact. And you don't have any arms other than Sharman who impacted from a starting pitching standpoint. And so, you know, look, that was an area that Clemson fell short in last year, and maybe that's why you have so many arms now. But the dilemma is it's not enough just to have arms. It's not enough just to have talent that you're optimistic about for some future date. Clemson needs frontline starters in that pitching rotation. Frontline starters. Guys who are horses. Guys who are going to deliver and who are going to eat innings. You didn't have that. Let me tell you about Kiwi Financial Group. Through personal life, business, financial planning, or estate planning, your financial advisor should be by your side like the advisors at Kiwi Financial in Clemson. Kiwi Financial Group is growing. They have a new advisor on staff, Lindsay Armay. Lindsay is willing to work hard for you, and her service will be the same service you've come to expect from Greg Wales and Kiwi Financial. Look, if you aren't getting the attention or the information you deserve from your current financial advisor, Lindsay May and Greg Wales want to earn your business and your trust. Your financial advisor should know your goals, help push you towards them, send you frequent updates and encouragement along the way. Your financial advisor should also educate you on any new financial approaches to help better grow your portfolio and your return on investments. Lindsay and Greg know you've worked hard for your money. Now you need it to work for you. They will be there for you through the mountains and valleys of life, educating, advising, helping lead you to a more fulfilling financial future. If you just want more from your money and your financial advisor services, schedule your free consultation by calling Kiwi Financial at 654-5043, 654-5043, or visit kiwifinancial.com for more info. That's kiwifinancial.com. Securities advisory services offered through Gradient Securities, otherwise unaffiliated with Kiwi Financial. You can get in if you want, 654-7627, 654-7627. So, again, I think there's a lot to fix. But the good news is that in this world we live in, this college athletic world we live in, you can fix it in one cycle. You can go from where Clemson was this year to first next year. You can. You can fix it all in one cycle. Just go. You got to go get the right guys and hit them this time. This time, Clemson didn't hit them. Well, that's the way it works. You know, it doesn't matter how much you know, how smart you are. Doesn't matter. Sometimes you just miss. So go back and change the face of the talent. That's the task at hand. Because, again, I think that, you know, Bob and I agree, this is a talent issue, and you've got to fix that. Let me tell you about Jeannie Mahaffey, Insurance for Seniors and Disabled. And we talk about salt of the earth. That is Jeannie. I mean, Jeannie is a wonderful human being. And their service, of course, comes at no cost to you. If you are aging into Medicare, you cannot navigate this yourself as a layperson. You also shouldn't be victimized by all the scammers and lowlifes that are in this industry. And that's me saying that. You know, that's the reality of it. And it's just endless. But Jeannie and her company will service their Medicare customers after the sale as well. We believe in customer service. We return all your calls. We want to help you enroll in the plan that best suits your needs, and we're always going to be there for you to guide you through the process. If we don't know an answer to your question, we'll find the right answer, not just an answer. We enjoy helping Medicare customers. Medicare is the only thing we do. That's Jeannie Mahaffey and her incredible staff in the state of South Carolina, North Carolina, and Georgia. No one does it better. Don't dial, don't take any phone calls from any of these unknown people. Your answer is right here. Jeannie has been helping people for over 20 years, and she's just a remarkably intelligent lady and unbelievably accommodating. She and her staff will be glad to help you navigate really difficult and important decisions in your life. 864-307-8484. 864-307-8484. It's Jeannie Mahaffey. You will 100% thank me later. Call her. Waltip, Tulip Road Rage. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to...
Huge disappointments. Yeah. I mean, again, sometimes you hit and sometimes you miss, and that's just the way it is. And so, I think for most everybody, there are going to be years like this right now, right? You know, like people think like Clemson's been a little down in the last few years. So is Alabama. So is Georgia by their standards. You know, I think this is the new world order, unless, you know, the government dramatically changes this somehow. But otherwise, I think this is the new world order. Terry says, gotta have dollars to pull better talent. You don't. You may have to be more right than other people, but it's not like Clemson's not competing at all in that space. But Clemson basketball does not have anywhere near the financial wherewithal of anybody they're competing with, right? And most of the national teams, and yet still finds players. Now, you can still find players. And, you know, you have to work a little harder, be a little more right than others, maybe. Yeah, maybe. But you can still find players. And, again, no one's hitting all these guys. You're not. And so that's what you have to do, and that's how you have to go at it. We have lots to get to. We're going to talk basketball. We're going to talk some college football. We're going to get to all of that. I want to get back to this conversation, though, about what's going on in the government. By the way, Ramona, I saw a video clip from Tommy Lasorda mic'd up visiting Doug Rowe's mom visit from the 1977 World Series. And I was going to have you... edit this a little to try and play this. It's like a 2-minute clip, him going to the mound, but I decided against it because every other word of it out of his mouth was an F-bomb.
Every other word.
Yeah. Because Rowe didn't come out. He didn't want to come out of the game, and he was known as a pretty stout character himself. He did not want to come out of the game, but Lasorda was like, I'm the effing manager. I'm the one who gets effing paid to make these decisions. I'll make the decisions that are in the best interest of the effing team, and you're not going to tell me what to effing do. Do you understand? This is my effing job.
Did he pull him out?
Yeah. Yeah. He said, I've only given up 4 hits, and they're mostly the opposite side. He said, I don't care. He said, you already gave up 4 hits. You already gave up 4 effing hits. He said, well, but they were against. He said, I can get the next guy out. Ross said, I can get the next guy out. He's a lefty. He said, I can get him out. I can strike him out. He said, so are the guys who got the hits off you. I mean, it's on my Twitter feed. I've retweeted it. I couldn't have. Ramona would have been here all day trying to take the cuss words out of this. It's truly special Lasorda behavior. Talk about owing the cuss jar. Yeah, he owes the cuss jar. All right, back to this conversation. You can get in about the White House and the College Football Commission and where we go and what this means. And I just listen. This is a list of how many things? how many things? There's like 7, 8, maybe more elements of this list. Again, these are the people. This is Adam Silver, for some reason, is involved in this. Why Mr. Basketball has anything to do with this, I don't know. Condoleezza Rice, poor Condoleezza. She just wants to stay at home, and everybody keeps bothering her.
Making her do right. stuff.
DeSantis, Levine. I mean, I don't understand any of this stuff, but I think there are issues with it, and I think that almost all these things come down to one element, and that's the antitrust exemption. Look, the reality is this, okay? You can fix a good deal of this. How, Ramona? If I made you queen for a day and I said, okay, there are certain things that you're never going to be able to set back. In other words, so many of these things have already been implemented in the way college athletics is run that, you know, that old cliche about putting the genie back in the bottle, you're never going to be able to put the genie back in the bottle, okay? Some of this stuff is here to say. It's there are basically no guardrails on it. So if I want to say to you, Rona, okay, you're never going to be able to roll back all this stuff. Some of it is just the way of the new world because too much of it's already happened to be able to roll it back. What could you do that could limit much of it? What could you do?
You have to roll back the transfer portal somehow. Make more rules in the transfer portal. They're going in the transfer portal to get more money. That's how they get more money.
Well, what is the NFL?
From team and team and team and team like that. You can't let them have that.
Well, what does the NFL have that college?
They have salary caps.
Okay, but what else does the NFL have? What does the NFL have that college athletics doesn't have?
I don't know. Trade? I don't know.
Contracts.
Oh, yeah, contracts.
Contracts.
They are signing contracts.
No.
These kids.
Well, they're signing.
For the money.
No. They're signing NIL contracts. I'm talking, they have, at least in the past. I'm talking about signing contracts that compel you to stay where you are.
Well, they put that in there. Well, they just need to put that in there.
Well, again, you can't just put that in there without the antitrust exemption. Now, the antitrust exemption is a big deal because the belief will be that, you know, once you have the antitrust exemption, that then that will allow you to do whatever you want, that then you will have carte blanche to set everything back. But all those things can be negotiated. All of those elements can be negotiated. The bottom line in all of this is I don't think you need this whole giant list of things, nor do I think this list is necessarily to your advantage. I think that it's pretty simple that players have to sign contracts, and the contracts are going to prevent you from moving. You'll get the money. You have to stay where you are. I think that's the simple fix to most of this. You know, I don't think
that's putting it in the contract. They have come up with different contracts.
Well, you don't. There are no contracts.
They don't have contracts when they get their money.
No,
they don't have written contracts. Well, when they're given money.
Some may, some may not. I don't know. I don't know. But we're not talking about the way it was. We're talking about under an antitrust exemption. We're talking about strict binding contracts, the type that the NFL has that require you to be where you are. All right, and they prevent freedom of movement. You'll get paid this amount of money and you will be at the school for three years or whatever. And that is the real key to where we are now. Because again, you can't, to me, these other things are just almost meaningless. They're just not very important to this bigger picture that we have. Again, I don't think – I understand the purpose of the coach salary caps, but I don't know that that benefits you. And I don't, if you're trying to create an image that the players can abide by limiting the coaching salaries, I understand that. There's a complete difference between the impact of a coach long-term on a university and everything a coach does, like everything Dabo Swinney's done, compared to what a player does. There's a big difference in that. And there's also a difference between being an adult and have worked at something all your life and being a 20-year-old.
If you go back with the coach's salary, that doesn't seem fair to me, because the coaches are the ones that have to take all the responsibility when they lose and all this other stuff. And the students, the players, are supposed to be listening to them.
Yeah, look,
I think they should have more. I don't know. I just think they should make more than them. They're responsible. If something happens, they're the ones that get fired.
Well, look, one of the negatives, I think, one of the things that the players have used in the past in any of these type of conversations is the amount of money that some of these schools are paying coaches not to coach, to go away. You know, these insane buyouts that are ridiculous. It's hard to cry poverty when you're paying a guy $50 million to go away, and you paid some other guy $20 million to go away, and you're basically on the hook for like $100 million. And it's hard to cry poverty at that point. And so I think that has been that's been detrimental to the cause. But I just think that this list of things, like coach salary caps, again, does that lead to an exodus of coaches leaving the college game to the NFL game? I don't know. I don't really want to test that. Pooled media rights. Again, the pooled media rights deal, I just don't think you're going to find any agreement. I don't think the Big Ten or the SEC is going to abide by that. Why would they? When they have all the money and they have all the power, why are they going to be willing to share with alleged lesser leagues? The new governing body deal, it, to me, is just replacing one issue with another. I mean, I'm sorry. So the NCAA can't run college athletics, but the government can run it better? The government who can't run anything hasn't run anything. The government who ran up all these, the government who's a gazillion dollars in debt, that government? The government who has all these fluff programs, who have been stealing our tax money to pay for like ridiculous things in Uganda and Greece and all over the world. I mean, that government,
the
government who can't agree on anything amongst themselves.
The NCAA basically gave it to them, though.
Well, what I'm saying, though, is why would the government run it any better than they can't even handle their own business? They're going to run the business of college athletics for 2 years? Look, I don't like the NCAA, but I'll bet you anything they can run the NCAA better than the government can. I mean, this notion of, see, this stuff sounds good on the surface. We don't like where we are. So we hear this stuff and we think, well, this sounds good. Okay. Like again, this pooled media rights sounds good. Well, try and enforce it. This new governing body sounds good. Okay. Like I said, nobody likes the police until they don't have the police. You know, that's the way the world is. You know, and then you're desperate for the police when you find out that you can't exist without them. But you're always going to require a policing agency.
Well, I mean, they're trying to get them to be the policing agency, and they're not doing it.
No, they forced this on them. If they hadn't intervened to begin with, we probably wouldn't. Now, look, Mark Emmert was an idiot, but if the government hadn't intervened to begin with, we wouldn't probably be in this situation.
Well, you know how late they do.
Well, but the point is on this, to me, is that from a governing body standpoint, you don't like the one we have, you're not going to like the next one either. And you know what? If you don't like the next one, you won't like the one after that. People are never going to like that. That's my point. We don't like rules and regulations. We don't like people telling us what we do. We don't like people penalizing us. This sort of human nature, you know? So you're not going to like it, but I'm just, again, I'm asking, this new governing body, okay? See, again, that sounds nice on the surface. Like, all the people who hate the NCAA right now, think the NCAA is inept, the NCAA this, the NCAA that. Okay, so when we hear a new governing body, we think, oh, that's great, a new governing body, we can get rid of the NCAA. But then if I tell you that the governing body is actually going to be the U.S. Congress, do you still think it's great? Again, what have they proven as a group, as a whole? This is apolitical, okay? What have they proven as a group regarding their competence? What have they proven? They're the most incompetent group of people on the planet. They can't get anything done. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. They get nothing done ever. They ran us into gazillions of dollars worth of debt. They've stolen our tax dollars to pay for the most ridiculous things on earth. And these are the people we're going to entrust college football to? No, I'm not. I'm not trusting college football to those people. I'm sorry, I'm just not. I don't think they should have anything to do with college football. I think they should be out of the process. I think they're meddling in this is partly how we got to this point. And now we're going to turn it over to them for 2 years and say, oh, well, they'll fix it? How are they going to fix it? How are they going to fix it? I mean, again, everything they touch turns to stone. But they're going to fix it. All right, Addison and Bengal John in a minute.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens, 97.5.